The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Thank you for your practice this morning. Nice to speak to some of you too. Notice that sometimes my mind feels more at home in speaking with you than even in sitting in the silence. So when you teach, you teach your experience in an important sense. You teach kind of your path of practice, hopefully in ways that are helpful. But you're also, I think, responsive to what the Sangha wants, what's useful, what people appreciate. And in terms of what practitioners often want, there's a real push towards techniques and systems of practice. That is a kind of integrated approach that brings you from A to Z, and is a kind of hermetically sealed thing that is internally non-contradictory. But I have some fondness for something that Nietzsche said, which is like, he said something like, I mistrust systematizers. The will to a system is a lack of integrity. Now, it's not that technique is wrong or systematic approaches to practice are wrong. I personally have felt quite deeply benefited by them. And it is very good to have one or two meditation techniques that are there for you, that are in the bones, where you can, at the drop of a hat, settle into a particular way of focusing. And it's very helpful to have something that you know how to do when you're suffering. Have an approach, a technique. And yet something gets left out when practice becomes too deeply identified with technique. So much of Dharma is improvisation. So much of it is there's no template. There's nothing exactly to hold on to guide the correct response to this moment. And so Dharma practice is a kind of experiment, an investigation, a not knowing. There's a story about a Zen teacher who's at the end of a long life and is dying, and student comes to ask the teacher, what's the teaching of your entire lifetime? And the teacher replies, an appropriate response. You know, what if the nature of enlightenment is an appropriate response? The truth is, if I knew the template for letting go, I would be a lot freer than I am. And if I could just tell you how to do it, I would be richer. But so much of our practice really is in meeting the idiosyncratic, the very particular conditions of the heart-mind in that moment, of our life, our history. And so there may be principles and techniques that can guide us, but there must also be some improvisation. Kind of dancing with the moment in a way that can't be anticipated beforehand. And so this meeting of the very particular conditions of our life, our mind, is so important, and it's where the Dharma comes alive, when it's a sense of we're cultivating our own path. In practice discussions and interviews and on retreat, for example, if you've done silent retreat, people come in and there's a conversation of 10 or 15 minutes, a bit like what we do here on Wednesday mornings. And for those kinds of meetings, I really only know about three things to say. Trudy's laughing. I know about three things to say, but I say them in 1,000 different ways. And you have to actually be precise. Yeah. It has to actually be tailored to the very particular conditions of the mind in that moment. And how we meet our minds in the moment needs similarly to be flexible, improvisational. How do we discover? This path is said to be uprooting ignorance at its base. It's uprooting ignorance. But how do we discover ignorance? How do we discover delusion? So much of that process actually depends on curiosity, sincerity, willingness to be surprised by ourselves. Now, technique is often contrasted with view. There's technique or practices, things we do, are widely celebrated, especially in secular approaches to mindfulness, because techniques seem less religious than view or belief. Yeah. And so it makes a lot of sense to me that in the secular world, secular mindfulness realm, of which I am an eager and enthusiastic participant, But in that realm, technique is emphasized because to teach view looks maybe religious. But view is really important in our practice. And I'm not even sure that one can teach technique without view. Andrea's teacher, Sayadaw Tejaniya, says, just like money, would you have to invest money to grow money? We have to invest wisdom to grow wisdom, which is another way of saying we must start with right view. We must start with right view. And this is not technique. It's not something we do to experience. One last complication of technique is that sometimes dutifully implementing a particular meditation technique or a particular algorithm of working with suffering obscures the texture of the mind that is implementing the technique. And so if we just practice applying something to the problem in front of us, we often actually miss the texture of the mind that is looking. We miss the kind of flavors of the mind, the ways that views not seen condition awareness, condition what we see, condition how we implement those techniques. And if we get too singularly focused on technique, we can actually miss some of the habits that are being recapitulated in the technique itself. And so, we can honor what technique does for us and what it doesn't. Thank you.